Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I look forward to sharing this next half hour with you.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
This morning, it truly is our pleasure to have you join us for Missionary Echoes. Today, we're going to have a special guest who we've enjoyed having his ministry here at Lebanon God's Missionary Church for the past couple of weeks. His name is Jacob Beloker, and he's going to be sharing a message for today's program. I trust you'll be able to stay with us and enjoy what he has to share.
Fleeting joys of earth. I had many broken cisterns that had mocked me by their dearth. All the springs my soul had tested failed to meet my deepest need. Christ alone has met my longing. He has satisfied indeed. Christ is not a disappointment. Every longing in my breast finds in Him complete fulfillment. He has brought me into I have tested Him and proved Him more than all I dreamed He'd be. Christ is not a disappointment. He is all in all to the world for pleasure, but it could not satisfy. Though it promised much, it failed me. All its wells and springs were dry. right was empty. And I thought that life was vain. Then he came and tuned my heart strings, and I learned to sing again. I was tempted not to trust him, for so many things had failed. But so patiently he waited, and in tenderness prevailed. So I swung my heart's door open, and his promises I tried. Christ is not a disappointment. He has fully satisfied. Christ is not a disappointment. Every longing in my breast finds in him complete fulfillment. He has brought me into rest. I have tested him and proved him more than all I drink he'd be. Christ is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me.
Let's talk to the Lord in prayer this morning and take our concerns to Him. Lord, we thank You that You are the God who knows all things and that You do not make any mistakes. Thank You for Your love, for Your kindness, for who You are, that You are in control and that we can trust You to do all things well. I pray that You would be with us today in this program, guide and direct each part. Lord, You see the listener today. I pray that You would be with them. Would You bless them and help them? You see the concerns on their heart. And Lord, I pray that You would touch and help. And the concerns that they have this morning, that they would take them to You as God and find You sufficient for their needs. For all You do, and that we can trust You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. This week begins the annual Ono Camp Meeting. The services will be happening each evening, 7 o'clock p.m. throughout the week, and the services on Sunday will be happening at 2:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. This evening, the camp will start off with the Lebanon Valley Gospel Band sharing at 2:30. And so if you enjoy good music, you'll want to come and listen to that. Also, Stephen Gibson from Evangelistic Faith Missions will be sharing in tonight's service at 6:30. And so we look forward to hearing about the Evangelical Faith Missions work and all the good that they're doing. Then on Saturday, a group from Penview Bible Institute will be joining us for camp. So that evening, the service will start just a bit earlier at 6:45 as they come to share. Ono Camp Meeting is located just 2 miles southeast of Ono on Camp Meeting Road. If you're going traveling down Route 72, look for the sign half a mile south of Route 22 at Camp Meeting Road. Now, I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Good morning. This morning's sermon is titled, You Are Not a Mistake. Now, in life, we make lots of mistakes, but a dentist's mistake is pulled out, A lawyer's mistake is imprisoned. A teacher's mistake is failed, and a printer's mistake is corrected. A pharmacist's mistake is buried. A postman's mistake is forwarded. And an electrician's mistake could be shocking. Our text for this morning's message is Psalms 139:13-15. It says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." I see first in this message that you and I were created as a part of God's plan. Many years before Abraham Lincoln was elected president, he was a storekeeper in Salem, Illinois. Abe had a rifle displayed in his store that was one of the most beautiful rifles ever made. The barrel was made from the finest steel, the stock from the best walnut wood, and a world-famous gunsmith had assembled the gun. The price was extremely reasonable. Displayed next to this attractive gun was a rack of ordinary Kentucky squirrel rifles. These long-barreled rifles were made from ordinary gun steel and plain wooden stocks, yet the price was higher. A customer entered the store looking for a new rifle. He was impressed by the fine-looking gun, but was confused as to why it was priced much lower than the less attractive rifles. Abe explained that the good-looking rifle was for show, while the others were for shooting. The pioneer bought the Kentucky squirrel rifle. A little while later, a rich farmer was decorating a room in his country mansion. He wanted to place a gun over the fireplace mantle with his big game trophies. Abe's fancy gun was exactly what he needed. The fact that it would not shoot was irrelevant. The purpose of the gun had changed. God has given each one of us a purpose too. We can choose to work for God's glory and make disciples for Christ, or we can choose to be decorations in the church. Each one of us have people that God needs us to reach, and we have precious little time to impact others for Christ. We need to make the most impact for Christ in the time that He has allowed us. Secondly, I see that God has sent His Son to die for you and me as a sacrifice for our sins. John 3:16-17 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He paid the ultimate price, not begrudgingly, but willingly. The cross. This is my perspective of the cross. The cross looked so rough and gruesome. The journey made was tragic and lonely. I watched my Savior from my perch above, desperately listening for the command to save Him, but it would never come. I cried tears of anguish as He crawled and struggled His way up the hill. I knew that my sins were being carried on that cross, the splintered cross that even now was cutting into the torn and bleeding skin of His back. My tears ran dry as they nailed Him to that rugged, blood-stained cross. I smiled through joyous tears as my Savior reached the end, for I knew what was coming. In the end, He would win. He would bear the weight of all our sin. As He drew His final breath, He passed forgiveness to those who had no idea what they had done, and then He passed. Thirdly, I see that God values you. Matthew 10:29-32, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's knowledge? But the very hairs of all your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We have an advocate with the Father, who sits on the right hand side making intercession for us. Jesus is pleading our case to the Father. What better defense could we have? I would like for you to picture a scene right now. There is a courtroom. The judge is seated behind the bench. The jury is in place. There are people watching the proceedings. There is someone on trial sitting before the judge, and that person is you. The charge against you is that you are a sinner. And as always, the accuser Satan is in his place as prosecutor. He begins his case against you, listing the many times you did things that you never should have done. And also, all the people who were hurt by your words or actions, and the way you disregarded God's commandments in the things you often did in your life. It is hard to hear these things because you know they are true. After Satan has finished his argument, the judge asks, "Is there anyone here for the defense?" Up steps your guardian angel. It looks like you finally have help. Something to counter all of the things the devil has reminded the court about you and your life on this earth. The angel is asked, "Just how well do you know the accused?" "Well, I know this one well. I've been responsible for this one for all these years." Then the angel is asked, "Since you know this one so well, tell the court, has this person ever sinned?" Now, remember, this person is you. What kind of answer could your guardian angel give to such a question? What answer would you have to give? Wouldn't you have to agree, "Yes, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty"? Then the devil says, "Judge, this one has to go. He has to go to hell. According to your own word, the soul that sins, it shall die. This person has admitted it. This is a sinner." The judge, who is God, the righteous judge, knowing the judgment for sin, must give the verdict fitting the crime. But before he does, there is one who comes forward from the back of the courtroom. You notice that he has wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. It is Jesus, our advocate. He stands at the bench before the judge and says, "Your Honor, everything spoken here is true. This one is nothing more than a sinner, and death is right, the penalty for such a crime." Now, I am not here to argue that this person did not commit the crime. I am simply here to offer up evidence that the penalty has already been carried out. "Your Honor, look at my hands, my feet, side, and my head. I went to the cross and died for this one. I wore a crown of thorns to give a crown of life. I walked up Calvary's road to let this one walk on streets of gold. I was treated unjustly so others could be justified. I suffered so others could be saved. Your Honor, on the basis of bloodshed on Calvary, I ask this one go free." Then the judge, our Heavenly Father, looks at his Son, Jesus Christ, and says, "I accept what you have done for this person. Since the penalty has been paid, all charges can be dropped." Then you breathe a sigh of relief. But there is one more thing. The judge, the God of the universe, turns to you and says, "I can drop all charges and forget the sins you have committed based on the sacrifice of my Son, Jesus. But before I am able to do that, you must be willing to accept what was done for you on that cross. What is your answer?" Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." An important business executive boarded the New Orleans to Washington train. He was a heavy sleeper, and he needed to be awakened in order to get off the train in Atlanta about 5 o'clock in the morning. He found a porter and told him, "I want you to awaken me in order that I might get off the train at 5 in the morning. "Now, I am a heavy sleeper," he said. "It doesn't matter how much I fret and fuss and fume or what I do to you. I have to get off the train in Atlanta." "If you have to remove me bodily," he said, "you get me off this train in Atlanta." Well, the next morning, he awakened about 9 o'clock, having slept all night and having missed Atlanta, speeding toward Washington. He located the porter and really poured it on with all sorts of abusive language, almost attacking the poor guy bodily. After he left, someone said to the porter, "Wow, that has to be the maddest man I have ever seen." The porter said, "That's nothing. You think he was angry? You should have heard the poor guy I mistakenly threw off the train in Atlanta this morning." You see, that's a funny illustration. And the man that was left on the train was not really thinking the nicest thoughts about that porter. And he didn't know that the porter had done what he had been asked, but he did it to the wrong man. But see, the Lord does not make mistakes like that. The Lord is thinking of you, not evil thoughts, but thoughts of peace, because the Lord loves you. You are not a mistake. You were created for a purpose in God's plan. God sent His Son to die for you and me, and God values you. Please remember this. Your value does not rest in your abilities and talents, but your value is provided by God alone. You have eternal, never-ending value. Let God be the measuring stick of value, not your peers, co-workers, classmates, or even your significant other. Never forget that God values you and He wants you to be a part of His plan. I share this story in closing. The value of water. Colonel Nick Rowe is not a name most of you have probably ever heard of before. He was a war hero in a war that had so few heroes. In fact, he was killed by an assassin in the Philippines. His funeral was one to be remembered. He's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. In all the history of that cemetery, there's only one funeral that had more people in attendance. The funeral of President John F. Kennedy. Though I never met him, he taught me a lesson that is important for everyday life. But first, let me tell you why he is a hero and among the most honored names of all Special Force officers. Lieutenant Colonel Rowe was first and foremost a Green Beret soldier, that is, Special Forces. He was captured and made a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. Deprivation, torture, hunger, and physical abuse were all used to break the wills of prisoners, and it worked on many. Rowe did not have his will broken. He always remembered what the first duty of any American soldier is if they are captured. You are to try to escape. So he worked on escaping. He finally made it one day. He got through the barbed wire and the razor wire, and he made it into the jungle. Then came the hard task of making it back to safety. He hid from enemy patrols, running in the night. In the jungle, he was cold, hungry, thirsty, but he finally saw a helicopter. To a soldier like Lieutenant Colonel Rowe, it was easy to spot the difference between a U.S. helicopter and that of the enemy's. It was as easy as it would be for you to spot the difference between, say, a Ford pickup truck and a Dodge Caravan van. You can tell the difference by the number of blades that you see spinning. He ran out into the clearing and waved down the helicopter. Too late. As it landed and he saw the men coming out of the helicopter, he realized he had waved down the wrong kind of helicopter. For his attempted escape, they put him into a small cubicle made of steel. In the daytime, the temperature is like an oven. At night, it was like a freezer. But he didn't give up his determination. A soldier's job is to escape. And so, as soon as possible, he did so again. More physically beat up than the first time, he snuck throughout the jungle. In fact, enemy soldiers almost tripped on him in the bushes many times. This time, he did wave down the right kind of helicopter. As the helicopter was landing, North Vietnamese troops saw it and came. They were shooting at him as he was dragged onto the ship of his salvation. He spent time in a hospital, of course. He was one of only 34 prisoners who escaped during that war. After he recovered, he volunteered to go back to Vietnam. The military had different ideas for him, though. They had him teach survival skills so that others would know how to survive if captured. He is credited with creating all of the military's escape and evasion courses. The key question was asked him, "Why were you able to know the right helicopter the second time but not the first. Great men seem to answer with short sentences at key times, and this is what he did. He simply said three words: drink more water. A simple thing. The 8 glasses a day that we are supposed to drink has meaning. Drink more water and your head will be clearer. Drink more water and you will be better physically. Water. A simple answer. And yet the key to his escape from prison. Salvation because of water. God's action through water is something that Lieutenant Colonel Rowe taught me. I knew, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water from Genesis. I knew that God was active in creation with water. But it hadn't really sunk in how God continues to recreate you and me with water each day. And our word would die without water. We take water for granted. Water recreated you when you were baptized. While you can't be rebaptized each day, you can go back to recall that God recreated you that way. You can let your spirit drink from that as new life. Just as water was valuable for a successful escape, Jesus is necessary to make a successful escape from the bondage of sin. As you go throughout this week, remember this: you are not a mistake, and God wants you and needs you to be a part of His plan.
I've made mistakes and often stumbled, but Jesus gave His hand. I had a temper, tried it by me, but through the blood I broke every bound. But then one day when I met Jesus, His living water came streaming down. And now from my heart flows joyful river, and there's no way I will turn back. And there's no way I will turn back to my past I left behind. Too many blessings I have wasted, too many treasures I've yet to find. And there's no way God's heaven for the devil's burning hell. And there's no way, there's just no way I will turn back. I've been filled up on this world pleasure, but I was still empty inside. I tried it all just to be happy. Oh, but none ever satisfied. But then one day when I met Jesus, His living water came streaming down. And now from my heart flowed joyful river, and there's no way I will turn back. And there's no way I have wasted, too many treasures I've yet to